missing person is a person who has vanished and is unconfirmed as alive or dead, as their location and fate are unknown.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Down the Rabbit Holes podcast. I'm Melissa.
And I'm Amy. Thanks so much for coming back this week.
We really appreciate it. We are loving, guys. We say this every episode, but please keep talking to us on social media. Keep sending us your theories. We love every second of it.
Yeah, and we appreciate continuously all the feedback that we've gotten and, Melissa has been a huge support to me during my process for becoming like an overnight producer.
And you've killed it.
Yes. Thank you so much. So I hope I'm doing right by you guys.
Yeah. All right. So I know that we are getting into the swing of things and we're getting more comfortable. So I'm going to actually just dive right in if you're ready for that.
Yeah, totally.
This case, at first glance, seems pretty straightforward. And at the end of it, I was like, ooh, what? And I try not to make a decision while I'm going through it. And then I will later.
Really? I have to say that you and I must go about that differently then, because my head's already spinning and coming up with crazy conclusions all the time.
I'm really afraid I'm going to be like the police and make my decision really early and then only have evidence to support my decision.
I mean, that's entirely fair, yeah.
So I try really hard to like, okay, let me go out from this angle and this angle and this angle. Mm-hmm. And then I make a decision based on that. So
good for you.
Either way. All right. So today we're going to talk about Amy Roe Bechtel. And she's from Wyoming. Which maybe Kim and Kanye can investigate because they're moving there, apparently.
Oh, yeah. Is that right? I was going to say, because who else could we ask about Wyoming? I don't know anybody from Wyoming.
And I will say, for anyone that hates on Kim Kardashian, that's fine. The work she's doing in prison reform is insane to me.
In what way is it insane? Like, oh, my God, I can't believe she is, of all people.
The fact that she's getting her law degree and she's helping people get out of jail is just impressive. So say what you want about her, but she's actually giving back and making a difference.
I agree with that. Anyone that's doing admirable work and going to school and working towards it, good for them. Kudos. I don't care who you are.
Yeah, and I feel the same way.
Do the right thing. Be a good human.
And if I turned you off from being a Kardashian supporter, whatever, fine. But either way, so she's from Wyoming. Now, she was born in 72, and she went missing in 97? Yes, 97. So she was 24 when she went missing, just for context. Now, I don't have a whole lot about her childhood or upbringing, except for she came from a great family, and she was super athletic, like loved running. And when she was actually 96, she ran the Boston Marathon in 3 hours and 8 minutes. Which, go ahead.
Well, I don't really know anything about marathon running. I know it's like 26 point whatever miles. I can tell you that.
So my sister runs for fun because she's a crazy person.
I don't understand that. That's awesome.
Me either. But she's run a half marathon. So I called her about this case in general. And I was like, hey, a lot of Amy's background is she's a runner. So I wanted to understand some oddities or little nuances about the case. And when I told her she did that, my sister was like, that's like a 7.5 minute mile. And the average marathon is like a 10.5 minute mile.
Really? Like just,
and I was like, oh, so she's like really good at running. And
she's
my sister
gifted.
Was like, yeah. So anyway, she's a runner. She actually was number one in her university. Either way. So in college, she actually met her husband, Steve. And obviously was her boyfriend then. They were college sweethearts. They started dating and got married in 1996. And they moved to Lander, Wyoming, which is like almost in the middle of the state. If you divide it into like four quarters, it's like just to the left of the middle, essentially. So it's okay. In my, Wyoming's a big state with a lot of mountains and a lot of like open area. It's a small town, 13,000 people or so. They got married in 96, which is actually the year she ran the Boston Marathon. And wow. They were
she had a busy year.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I thought the same thing.
Forget that wedding planning. I have a little extra time to run a marathon and train for it and all that.
Right. Exactly. So from what I was reading, it sounds like they were just like settling into life. Like I said, they were newlyweds. They bought their first home in July of 97. They were really enjoying being in the outdoors. They both were super outdoorsy. She taught at a gym. They were always like hiking, running. And in fact, she was actually organizing a 10K through the mountains.
She's just got a lot of time on her hands.
I think
huh?
You should sign up for it and run.
No, thank you. Seriously, she sounds kind of like a type A personality. She seems to me like probably really organized and able to, like, I don't know.
Multitask.
She's really efficient.
You're 100% right. When we get into, like, her disappearance, like, it's something I would do. So, hold on. So, we get to summer of 97. They've been married for about a year. They actually closed on their house on July 21st of that year. And they hadn't moved in yet. They were still living in their apartment because we're going to talk about Thursday, July 24th, 3 days later, okay? Mm-hmm. That's the day she disappeared. And Amy's to-do list was pretty busy that day. She literally had a to-do list, teach a class at the gym, and then a bunch of house things. Call electricity, call the insurance, get the utility set up. It sounds like she was hoping to get it all out and then rewarding herself with a run through the mountains. Yeah, that's my reward.
My reward is a little bit different in life.
Yeah. I would agree with you, but, you know, to each their own. So
I'm just so intrigued by these types of people. I admire them.
Me too. Like, I went and watched my sister run, and I was like, good for you. I'm just going to support you. So that morning, I'm going to run through her day, but it was actually pieced together after she disappeared. But just to give you a frame of reference, she taught a kids gymnastic class gym class in the morning. She went to the recycling center. Her phone records, so she made some calls to utilities and the power company.
Okay.
And lastly, the last confirmed sighting of her, she dropped off some prints at a store at 2:30 p.m. Multiple people have seen her as this is a confirmed sighting.
Okay. So with camera sighting and all that?
What?
Just people that sighted her? Like,
well, we're in
footage.
1997.
Yeah.
So it's funny. I'm going to get into it more, but like researching it, I was like, oh, yeah, there's like only landlines.
That's true. Yep.
So her husband's day was a little different. He actually planned an all-day rock climbing trip about an hour away with one of his friends, Sam. So it sounds like they left the house about the same time in the morning. Steve went to go climbing, Amy to work, and then to run some errands. Okay. And everything seemed normal. Steve got home late afternoon. Some reports say 3:30, some reports say 4. And Amy isn't back yet. But it sounds like he wasn't really that worried. He knew she had a lot of things she wanted to accomplish, and he also knew that she wanted to go out for the mountain run. I think that she was training for her 10K that she was trying to organize, and that's 6.2 miles, and let's say she does a 10-minute mile, which is slower than the marathon, but mountains.
Yeah.
That's an hour-long run. So either way, her husband's home, not really worried, waiting for her to get home. That evening, some reports say around 7, some say 8:15. So I'm just going to go between 7:30 and 8.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Their neighbor, in their apartment complex, Todd and his wife, come by to invite them to the movies. Which I was like, well, that's weird. But in a world before cell phones, people came over your house to see if you wanted to go somewhere.
Yeah, seriously.
Just for frame reference, Amy and I hit high school, well, graduated high school right about the time cell phones were cool and affordable. Like, when I turned 16, my parents got me a cell phone to have in my car. So, like, all of my social life, I've had a cell phone.
Yeah, that's true.
In my childhood, I didn't, when I would call my friend down the street.
Right.
But, like, as an adult, I've never, you know what I mean?
I do. And it's really hard to remember what it was like. I mean, I seriously still ask the question, like, with how busy people are today, like, how would you ever find someone? They're never home.
Yeah. No, I agree. So, anyway, they came over to invite them to the movie. Steve said no because he wanted to wait for Amy to get home, which is reasonable.
Mm-hmm.
So at some point that evening, it sounds like between 9 or 10, Steve got really worried. Now, I read in one of the articles they had had a conversation about going to visit her family about an hour away, and they had decided against it. But he was like, well, maybe for some reason she just went there, and I don't know. So he calls her parents' house.
Right.
And to see if they had heard from her or if she was there, and they're super confused. Which, fair.
Yeah.
Because they're
confused.
Like, no, she's not here. What do you mean? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Now, at this point, Todd and Amy, the neighbors, get home from the movies, and they swing by the house again, which blows my mind because at that point, it's like 10:30 or 11 p.m.
Yeah, I would be really worried.
Well, you would be now in a world where people text and say, are you home?
Yeah.
So, Steve says at this point, Amy is still not home. So, Steve is, like, worried at this point. But in a world with no cell phone, like, what do? You don't want to leave the house because what if she calls?
Yeah.
But you also don't want to do nothing. So, Todd and his wife say, okay, well, we'll take a drive out to where she goes running. You stay here and see if she calls. And Steve says he'll call. Steve wants to call the authorities. Now, this is the first weird thing for me. The 911 call, right? I listened to it more than once. And just the beginning stands out to me. So the person answers and says, like, 911, what is your emergency?
Yep.
And Steve says, I have a missing person. And I was wondering if maybe you had an extra.
If that's a joke, it's bad joke.
I kind of feel the same way. Like, okay, so if I call 911 because my husband didn't come home, right?
Yeah.
Now, I and probably you are going to be more calm because you're well-versed in crime and, like, you know how this works and you need to give them all the information. Like, honestly, if someone's missing and I get accused, I don't want them playing my 911 call in court. Because I'm going to be like, okay, this is last known thing. I'm tracking his phone. You know what I mean? Like, I'm going to give you the facts.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And I'm going to sound cold. But I don't know that I'm going to make jokes and be like, do you have an extra person? Ho ho.
The only thing I can kind of get behind is this a guy with, like, nervous energy? And he just says those dumb things when he's really nervous and worried.
And that's fair. I laugh at inappropriate times. So I get that.
Yeah.
But it's still like, dude, really bad form.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So,
poor choice.
Yeah. So at that point, the couple, their neighbors, Todd and his wife, are driving out in the woods, out by the mountains. And some reports say one and some say two. They discover Amy's car. And they're like, this is great. It's on the Loop Road in Shuso National Forest, which, if I'm mispronouncing that, Showstone, I'm not sure. Right where she goes running, which I think at this point, they kind of breathed the sigh of relief.
Right.
And the assumption was like, oh, she probably like twisted her ankle or something happened. And now we're just going to go hike out and get her.
Yeah.
So they go over her car. They open the door and in it are her sunglasses, her to-do list, and her car keys.
Uh-huh.
Todd calls the husband and says, hey, like, we found it. Steve grabs flashlights and a blanket and drives there, figuring they're going to hike in and get her out.
Uh-huh.
They all take off into the woods, yelling, calling her, and it's crickets.
Probably literally.
Yeah, probably. Or animals, which is creepier.
Yeah, all of the above.
The next morning, they don't find her at all. The next morning, the search crews descend in like droves on this mountain. Now, again, they search with dogs and heat-seeking sensors, which should impress me, but I think similar to the Rico case, the town was used to a lot of search and rescue because there were a lot of mountains.
Yeah.
So this was pretty normal for them. So they just jump in and do whatever they can. But they find nothing. No Amy, no blood, no clothes, no nothing. So they're like, what the heck happened?
Yeah, it's getting bleak.
Yeah. Especially because, like, if she was hiking and got hurt, you would think they would stumble upon her. Right?
Yeah, totally.
Especially because if it was a run, she probably wasn't, like, trailblazing. She was
on it. That's exactly what I was going to say. There must be some kind of worn down trail.
Right. So law enforcement searched her car, and they actually found in the bottom of her to-do list was a list of the mile markers going up the road and descriptions of them. And they figured this is the route for the 10K she's organizing.
Oh.
Like, she's trying to, like, write down, like, what she's going to have the runners running.
Yeah.
So nothing in the car was alarming. I will say people on the Reddit threads are like, oh my gosh, her keys are in her car. But like I said to you, I called my sister and I ran a few things by her. And we're in 2019. And Jen's biggest annoyance is where to keep her phone and her keys when she goes running. So since it's 1997, you have no phone. And people believe the world is much safer. I think it's a safe bet to assume leaving her keys in her car was pretty normal.
Yeah, and I just have to wonder, what's the crime rate? I mean, are people worried? Like, maybe nothing happens and they feel totally safe.
And Jen knows a lot of people that are in running groups and stuff. And she said a lot of people still, in 2019, leave their keys in their car. She doesn't because she listens to crime stuff and she's not going to get murdered.
Good job, Jen.
But she said that's like a normal thing. People that go out in the trail run will just leave it in their car.
Uh-huh.
So I don't give much weight to that, but some people do. Mm-hmm. So because it looked like there was no foul play at all, searchers still searched and the family still searched. And then something which I think is odd, and every report I've read about this states it as just like, and then this thing happened. And I'm like, hold on. 5 days in, investigators announced that it is no longer a missing person search, but a criminal investigation. Also, 25 FBI agents arrived to assist in the investigation.
No way. Is she like an undercover cop or something?
I was like, 25 FBI agents? Like, I get that maybe this town doesn't have, like, a full-out police force.
Yeah,
but
right.
But, like, a girl goes missing in Wyoming. I mean, if anything ever happens to me, I hope it happens in the land of Wyoming. Because 25 FBI agents?
For real, because anywhere else, no one is coming.
Thanks, Amy. Thanks.
I meant that for myself, but not you.
But yeah, like, so they set up roadblocks on the mountains, asking anyone who, if they saw anything that day. They work off her to-do list, tracking her movements. Like, first of all, like, good for her for having this happen. But, like, I read it, and then I was like, okay. And then they said in the disappeared episode, and I was like, okay. And then I read it again, and I'm like, is no one going to talk about this is weird? Everyone's just going to be like, and then the FBI rolled up. It's fine.
You can't be the only one that thought that.
I'm telling you. I was like, do they mean, like, two FBI, not 20? Okay. So there were a couple witnesses. One witness said they saw a thin blonde running really fast the afternoon she went missing on a mountain road, which probably is a likely sighting.
Mm-hmm.
Another one said they saw a blue pickup speeding on the road on the day of the disappearance between 4:30 and 5 p.m. and a man driving with a blue with a blonde lady in the passenger seat. Which, okay, like, I guess, whatever. But
I'm assuming she's blonde, then.
She is. But do you know who drives the blue pickup? Her husband, Steve.
Oh, jeez.
So investigators do what investigators do. They start to look at the husband.
Yeah.
Now, they already have thought it's not a missing person. So they interview the friend he was climbing with, and the friend says, yes, we went climbing. And in one article, it says the police weren't sure if they believed him and wanted proof, which seems reasonable.
Totally.
Until you remember, it's 1997. What proof do you want? There's no cell phones. There's no texting. There's damn sure no selfies.
Yeah. Like,
what exactly proof do you want?
That's a good question.
And I'm not even trying to be, like, funny about it. Like, if I'm with someone and I say I'm with them, and they say, yep, we were together, we went rock climbing. Can you prove it? In a world with no cell phones? How?
No, you're right. That sounds like a scary time.
Yeah. Like, honestly, a cell phone doesn't even prove something. But either way.
Not if you know true crime.
I do want to, like, high level talk about Steve for 1 second. There were no life insurance policies. They had bought a house 3 days ago. And no one was having an affair. I just want to get those facts out there because those are, the big reasons that people do this.
Yeah.
So they bring Steve in for questioning, which turned into an interrogation. They, during this interrogation, say, like, hey, we're investigating this as a murder and you're our suspect. Then they ask Steve for, ready for this one?
To
undergo a polygraph.
Here we go.
Now, this is where it gets a little fuzzy. It sounds like, based on the reports, that he agreed, but said he wanted a lawyer. And then his attorney was like, heck no. So he refused. Uh-huh. And then all hell broke loose because he refused a polygraph. Now, I did find
that
a quote.
That happens all the time, though.
Well,
attorneys...
listen.
Okay.
I did find a quote from his attorney. Kent Spence said, I wouldn't let any client take a lie detector test. They're completely inaccurate. They come in about one-third of the time as a false positive. It would be a terrible injustice to Steve if he fell within that one-third false positive and it was used against him. Which
I agree.
I mean, we're going to say it again, but if either of our spouses go missing, we're not taking polygraphs.
Nope.
I don't care if I you know what I mean? Like, it doesn't matter. I'm not doing it.
And then
it.
If I see cops in my driveway, I'll ask for a lawyer from my window.
Right.
Don't even come to the front door. Just get
Do you have
a
an
lawyer.
Arrest warrant? You don't? You're coming to ask me questions? Nope. Goodbye. So, if you recall, Steve said he left mid-morning to go rock climbing and got home around 4 p.m. According to phone records, there was a call made from the house at 4:43. Now, it does say Steve made this. I assume they verified it. Which is the same time the camper saw the alleged truck.
Oh.
So, either
way.
That
messes things up a bit.
Not for the police. It appears that Steve refusing a polygraph and having a verified alibi by a friend wasn't going to stop them. Not going to slow anyone down. They move on to asking Amy's family about Steve and Amy's relationship. Now, Amy's brother, Nell, recalled that she had a bruise on her arm a few weeks before this. And apparently his wife had asked Amy what it was. And Amy's response was, Steve gets a little rough sometimes. But she brushed it off. Now, I struggle with this because I think about if nothing was happening in my life, right?
Yeah.
And I had a bruise on my arm and my sister looked at me and was like, what the heck happened to you? And I was like, oh, you know, Anthony, he roughed me up over here. Like, I would say that, kidding around. And I'm sorry, anyone like that is in an abusive relationship. I apologize for that. But I don't think it's, I get the impression that's how it was said.
Yeah.
But her brother believed it was abusive. This is the only report of domestic violence. It could be completely true, or it could be a grieving family looking for answers.
So is he, what else? Is he controlling?
Well, the family also said that he was very controlling and Amy was very submissive to him. They don't have real examples except for, like, at restaurants, she would look to him to see what she should order. Which, so if we went to dinner and you were like, Matt, should I get this or this?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that's Matt controlling you. I think that's you being like, I can't decide for me.
Oh, yeah, totally.
But do you know what I mean?
That's not enough of anything for me.
But then you go missing 2 days later, and it's like, well, did she look to him because he was supposed to tell her what to eat? Do you know what I mean? And again, if this was domestic violence and if this was a controlling situation, like, I feel for them, and I'm not making light of it. But based on the fact that it kept being said, like, it was played off as nothing, and these are the only reports of it, part of me wonders if things were said in jest and then taking out of context when she went missing.
Yeah, I can get behind that.
So, Steve. I was in your corner for a little while.
Oh.
But then, you know, it's one of those situations where, like, it all looks bad. Nothing looks bad on its own. But cumulatively, you start to wonder. August 6th, 1997. So, like, 2 weeks into her being missing, the FBI get a search warrant for Steve and Amy's house and truck. The only evidence seized is Steve's lifelong journals. Okay?
Okay.
He has journals from, like, high schools, college, like, adult life, all of his journals. Now, here's a fun fact for you. Police bring these journals to Amy's family to review for context and validation.
I don't love that.
I feel like it's very much like the Holly case where they brought her husband her purse that they found.
Yeah. I also, hello, biased people. Please read and make what you will of it.
And that's kind of the way I feel about it. Like, the journals don't look good for Steve. The topics are stories about power, death, and killing people. Now here, hold on. In the Disappeared episode, though, Steve actually is interviewed. And he says, yeah, I was in a rock band in high school and college. And these were our lyrics. Like, yes, they're exactly what they sound like. But, and then he said, and I thought I was talented. So as an adult, I kept writing them and submitting them to short story magazines. He said, yes, I know they're trashy, but if I write those feelings, the feelings are gone and they become art. Which, I don't know how to feel about it. Like, it's a fair...
I guess I'm thinking, like, well, yeah, what's the big deal?
Right.
And people often aren't journaling from a place where they have things in their life figured out, or they're writing about the happiest things. They're probably writing about things they're trying to sort out, or, you know, they're writing poems, like him, songs. So to me, it really makes sense.
Yeah. And I struggle because, like, I don't know that it would have been the big deal it was if they hadn't have brought it to Amy's family, who just accused him of being abusive.
Right. I think that was really poor judgment. Hey, do our work for us.
And well, at this time, Amy's family made a statement that, like, Steve's not talking to our family. And I want to be like, duh, you said he was abusive and he killed her. Like, what do you have? Yeah. You come to Christmas dinner?
Right.
Hey, guys, it's me again, the person you think killed your daughter. Like, her mom was like, it was just suspicious he stopped talking to us. And I really wanted to grab the TV and be like, no, lady, it's not. It's not suspicious. Because you have now told the police he was abusive. And in his journals, you've now said it looks like he killed her. And then you what want him to call you on Saturday?
Right. I mean, I wouldn't want to engage in conversation. You're just trying to find stuff.
That's how I would feel, too.
Yeah.
So, again, I understand how in the media them saying, like, and now he won't talk to our family looks bad for him. But I don't know that I would talk to them either. So,
agreed.
And I mean, again, they're a grieving family. They're just doing everything they can to get their daughter home safely. So I'm not going to, like, judge them for it. But I also don't want them to cast a light that isn't necessary, I guess.
I agree. But I also think that they were put in a really tough situation by
the agreed.
Approaching them and putting them in positions to make judgments. And these judgments that have a huge impact on him.
I just want to know how that went. Like, were they sitting around the police station being like, wow, this one's about killing someone. This one's about power. This one's about death. You know what we should do? We should see if her brother thinks this has to do with the abuse he was talking about.
Right. It doesn't make sense to me.
So back to this case for a second. They searched the mountains. They dragged the lakes. They even asked the Russian space program for help. Apparently the Russian space whatever was taking pictures of the Wyoming mountains from the satellite. So they asked NASA for the photos.
I have to say that's pretty clever that they even knew that.
And what are the odds the day you go missing in the woods? Don't worry, NASA's here taking pictures. But it turned up nothing.
Yeah.
So, actually, a Runner's World article said it best, and I'm actually going to quote it because it's a really good, like, summation of the story.
Yeah.
Investigators found no signs of struggle or violence around her car. No indication of attack by a bear, mountain lion, or other wild animal. No shred of clothing to suggest she'd fallen and injured herself. No note, no boyfriend on the side, no drug use. No solid evidence that she wasn't as happy as any young woman might reasonably hope when she drove into the mountains that afternoon.
Hmm.
And I feel like that's every single theory you could possibly lay out. And they're like, nope, nope, nope.
Felt like challenging us today.
I did. Well, don't worry. I always have a little nugget for you.
Oh, good.
And this is for you. Ready for this?
Yes, yes.
April 2003. So we are now six years... Right? Yeah. 6 years after her disappearance.
Mm-hmm.
Enter the Great Basin serial killer, Mr. Three Name Dale Wayne Eaton.
Get out! I knew it!
So, he's arrested in 1988 he's arrested in 2003 for a 1988 abduction, rape, and murder of a Wyoming woman.
Ah.
During the investigation, the profilers say this can't be his first kill. And he operated within 100 miles of where Amy went missing. However...
Okay, so a couple of hours, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
However, he refuses to cooperate with any investigations. Dun, dun, dun.
Well, I mean, that makes sense.
I mean, he's already in jail for a long time.
Yeah, but sometimes you hold a card.
Yeah, or a lot of them. I mean, what I read about him a little bit is they're saying, like, that what happened to that girl, the one he was arrested for, was so well executed that it couldn't have been his first time.
Really?
So, a year later, 2004, here we go again. Amy's family, Love and Steve. Steve petitions the court to have Amy declared dead because he actually wants to move on and try to start a new relationship and get remarried. Now,
this is 6 or 7 years now.
7 years.
7 years. And this is a young guy, right?
Yes.
So he waits 7 years.
I would say he got married that same year. So I'm going to say he waited maybe 6 years. But yes, that's a long time.
For a young guy that wants to get married or be married, start a family.
I mean, they were 24 when they went missing. He's now 30. Like, he's still young enough to start a family and do all those things. I mean, I don't think that's unreasonable. But obviously, her family is, like, up in arms about it.
But at the same time, if it were my daughter and someone had the power to, in essence, kill her, end her existence, like, it would mean something to me on so many different levels. So I get where they're coming from too.
Yeah, I agree. Another interesting, not interesting. Another cool thing that happened this year is I didn't talk about it the whole time because I don't think it mattered in this whole case, but there was a $100,000 reward that was offered.
Yeah.
And her family actually converted the reward money this year to scholarships for athletic scholarships at the college she went to.
Oh.
So they just, you know, they took that money and they said, we're going to put it to good use and do the right thing. Now, I will say, in 2011, a new investigator took the case, and in a shocking turn of events, Steve began working with the new investigator.
Really?
Yeah, all I can get, based on what I read, and this is just speculation, I think that he was pretty much like, listen, it wasn't me. In those moments, it was really scary being accused of murdering my wife when I didn't do it. And now enough time has passed that I want to do the right thing and help. I just didn't want to be railroaded back then.
And it makes sense. I mean, I didn't see it coming, but you have to remember he was still kind of a kid when he was married. And now he's definitely an adult, and wanting to do the right thing means a lot. It's a big deal.
I think so, too. So, that's where the story ends.
I know.
So, prevailing theories are she got injured on the trail and then either died and they didn't find her or was attacked by an animal.
Yep.
She ran away from her life. I guess literally ran away from her life.
Okay.
And foul play. And foul play is split into two theories. One's the husband and then one's anyone else, including the serial killer.
Right.
So, I think I land on foul play, and I don't think it was the husband.
I guess the way my head's starting to think about this is, what do I think it's not?
Yep.
So,
okay.
So I
don't also think suicide is an option, I guess, because whatever. But I didn't even address that.
I mean, there was nothing that you told me that made me think that it was suicide. I don't think that she got injured off the trail. I mean, she's running, and there'd be no reason to get off the trail. I mean, at least far enough where someone wouldn't be able to find your body if you were injured and succumbed
to the elements.
Okay, thank you.
I agree, and I also think that she wouldn't have gotten off the trail if she's trying to plan a 10K for everyone to run.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, if she's trying to plan the 10K, she's out there running that 10K, and she's not going to be like, okay, guys, to the fifth bush, you're going to go left for 2 miles.
100%.
And that's just how I ruled that out.
Right.
And sure, an animal attack is possible. It's the Wyoming woods. But same thing. There's no blood. There's no clothing. There's no shoes. I don't know that bears and everything else eat sneakers.
Yeah, I mean, I completely agree. I always think that there's going to be, like, blood evidence left behind. Animals aren't cleanly. I mean, they don't care about DNA. So
right. And then,
so that's not really likely to me either.
Okay. So, where are you then?
I kind of feel like it's most likely a stranger abduction slash attack, because there wasn't anything that really stood out to me about Steve that would warrant him doing that to her.
So, in one of the articles I read that was very much like, oh, Steve did it. And I mean, you knew from the jump that was their, like, angle.
Yeah.
You lay out the facts. He jokes around on 911 call. Doesn't act concerned at all. He refuses to work with law enforcement. He refuses a polygraph. The truck is seen on the mountainside. He has a journal written about killing and power. Her family says he's abusive. Like, that culmination sounds really bad. Which is why I broke down each thing on its own, because I think each thing for me can be explained.
And I think so, too. I kind of actually want interviews with his friends.
With Steve's friends?
Yeah. Like, what kind of guy was he? Was he the kind of guy that was awkward when weird, bad things happened?
So I'll tell you this. The couple that he went to the movies, that came home, that went and drove or saw her car and all that.
Right. I forgot about them.
Steve has a investigation ongoing, like find Amy, whatever. He's still running it. That guy is helping him run it and field all the tips.
Well, I mean, he must be behind him. He must have his back.
I agree. You don't help someone try to find their missing now ex-wife if you think they killed her.
Yes. So, I mean, the serial killer thing is always a possibility, I guess, but part of me is like, that's not enough, because I feel like we're probably always within some type of radius of a serial killer.
Makes you feel great.
Yeah, I'm not going to lock my windows tonight or anything.
Yeah, to me, when I read that, I was like, hold on, what? You know what I mean? Like, I was just like, I'm sorry.
I don't feel like if something happened, it would have been too far into the trail. I mean, they would have had to drag her quite a ways.
Yeah, well, then again, like, there are mile markers written down, which makes me wonder if, like, a lot of it's on the road. Because, like, so I've done a 5K, and my sister's done a half marathon, and she's done two 10Ks. And then my cousin's done, I don't know, two or three half marathons for fun. And then a whole bunch of 10Ks. And all the ones I've seen them do or heard about, you run in like hundreds of people. So they couldn't have been running on a trail. I would assume it's along the roadside of these mountains where you could fit, you know, six or eight people wide when you're running.
I can totally see that. And then to me, that feels more likely that she could have been abducted.
Yep.
More than her in the middle of the woods.
And I feel the same way. Like, I get in the beginning why being like, oh, her car's here, maybe she went out into the woods to go hiking, let's go look for her. Like, I'm on board with that. But the more I thought about, and like I said, I was talking to Jen about it, and I was thinking about, like, seeing them run the half marathons and the 10Ks. They've all been on main roads because you have that many people and capacity. Now, in Wyoming, I don't know that you have, you know, thousands of people running this 5K. But even if it's 100, they're not going to run single file for 6 miles.
Yeah.
It's not the military.
Yeah. Good thinking.
So my logic was exactly what you just said. If she's running on the road, how easy is it to pull up behind her and grab her?
Right. So like a crime of opportunity, really.
Yeah. Oh, I don't think she was like stalked or any of that. Like, I think it really was just like a guy that wanted a girl, and she was there.
Yeah.
Which stinks. Like, that's awful. But that's very much where I think I land. I know that a lot of people on Reddit threads and all of this are really stuck on Steve. But for me, again, like, I'm repeating myself, but when you look at all the facts as one cumulative topic, sure, it looks bad. I mean, would I love it if my husband was writing stories about power and death and killing people? I mean, not so much.
Mm-hmm.
But if you break down, like I said, if you break down every single one. And again, I don't know. I don't know if this really was an abusive relationship. Now, if it comes out ever that it actually was abusive, and it was not just her family, but those two instances, it was like,
yeah.
Then my whole thing changes. Like, if he was abusive and he's writing that stuff down and she goes missing, I'm done. Investigate him. Thoughts?
No, I agree with you. What resonates with me is the fact that you pulled all that stuff apart. Because, yeah, at first, I was kind of like cringing about the, you know, the music that he was writing and all that. But when you pulled it apart, I could reasonably come up with other alternate theories or reasons behind what he was doing. So I just can't land on him. There's not enough information there. And I don't feel like if he had friends that really thought he would do it, they'd be sticking around to help him out.
And I agree with you. And like, it's funny because for me, you know what told me, what taught me, the case that told me how to do that or tell me that you should do that is the Adnan Syed case. Like, you look at all that, he has his alibi. His cell phone was where it was supposedly in that area. It was her ex. He asked her for a ride. All those things cumulatively, you're like, dang, what? And then there's a quote in one, maybe it was Serial, but if it wasn't him, he just has the worst luck in the world. And that's what it is. It's you break down each one of those things and you're like, oh, well, he did ask her for a ride, but then he didn't need one. And he didn't actually have his phone. Crazy person did. You know what I mean? Like, you break it down like that. You like that? You know, and that's, for me, that's very much what I wanted to do in this case. Like that article, like I said, was just like blowing him up. And I was like, hold on.
You know, it just teaches you, especially Anand in his case, is that things aren't always as they appear.
Right. And I mean, not for nothing, if my husband went missing and police were like, oh, well, this and this. Oh, also, she Googled how to make a person go missing, how to do this. She talked. You know what I mean? Like, I know.
She was
super calm on the 911 call. She didn't. Mm-hmm. She was not screaming and ranting like a lunatic.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? Like, I would look bad.
Yeah.
So either way, guys, like for me, I end up on foul play. I do like the serial killer angle. When I read it, I was like, Amy is going to love this.
Told you, they all have the middle name Wayne.
I'm telling you, when I read it and I was like, this is really Amy. He has three names. His three middle name is Wayne.
Yep. I'm right.
Amy's going to write a thesis, guys. About the middle name Wayne.
Yeah, why do serial killers have three names and why is it usually Wayne? That's the title.
Fair enough.
Yep.
All right, so I'm comfortable ending up on foul play. I'm okay with a serial killer. I'm also okay with a random crime opportunity. I'd love to hear what everyone else thinks. Where are you ending up?
Yeah, I'm on crime of opportunity.
Okay.
More than serial killer. And obviously that means it's foul play for me too. If anyone has anything to add, I'm curious. Sway me another way.
Yeah.
But right now that's where I'm at.
And we really do like it when you come at us with something different. And we're like, oh, I didn't think about that. Like, so I didn't even tell you this yet. But someone messaged me last week about, or mentioned us on Instagram, whatever.
Yeah.
Last week, and her point was, she thinks that Rico went back to LA because he didn't have a drug hookup in Seattle.
I caught that, and I thought that was genius.
Yeah, I was like, oh my gosh.
Obviously.
Like, why didn't we think of that?
Seriously.
And then that makes sense. Like, and then that to me, like, changes the whole trajectory of the case. So it's things like that, guys. Like, we are in it, especially the researcher, and then we're telling a condensed version of this. If your mind goes in a different way, share it with us because we love it.
Yeah, seriously. We create our own conversations about it in response to whatever someone's posting on Instagram or whatever.
Or Facebook or any of them. It is fun, too, to see you guys go back and forth on Facebook.
Yeah.
So either way, that wraps up my case.
Yeah. And if you haven't, like I always say, subscribe and rate us. It helps us out a lot.
It really does make a difference. All right. But we'll be back next week with a whole new case. Bye.
For more information about this case and other cases we've covered, visit our website at www.downtherabbitholespodcast.com.
Follow us and interact with us on social media. On Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, we are Down the Rabbit Holes Podcast. You can also reach out to us via email at theories@downtherabbitholespodcast.com.
Down the Rabbit Holes Podcast is a 2002 production written, hosted, and developed by Amy Lamar and Melissa Benitez. Music by Kevin Wyman. Audio production by Amy Lamar.